The following is a presentation of the Ed Boston Podcast Network.
Hi, friends, and welcome to the Ed Boston Podcast this evening. It's a unplanned podcast presentation of the Ed Boston Podcast Network, and the reason that we are here this evening on the air, we have all probably heard, at least those in the United States that are listening, of the outrage that came about earlier today when the governor of Virginia made some comments over a very, very controversial abortion bill that has been presented to the legislature in the state of Virginia. We're going to say a word of prayer, and then we'll be back to talk about this horrific turn of events. Father, we thank you for this day that you've given us, and pray just now, Father, you'll give us the right words to say tonight. Amy and I are both upset. We're both angry. We're both shocked. And Father, help us as we share this information to get the word out, to let people know exactly what is going on in this great nation of ours. Again, bless our words. Work through us, Father, and just help us in all that we say and all that we do. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, Amy, I just prayed that God would work through our words, and it is hard to just not start off yelling and screaming and ranting and raving about what we have heard today, read today, listened to today. I know that a little bit ago I gave you some information to share with you that we're going to talk about, and those that don't know, Amy had a pacemaker put in September and then revised in December. Her pacemaker is set at 50 beats per minute, and most of the time it stays right at 50 beats per minute. And when she got
done, for most people is a very slow heart rate.
Yeah, for Amy, it had gone up from 30-something to 50, low 30s to 50. So that's the reason for the pacemaker, is her heart rate runs very, very slow. And instead of running 50 like it was supposed to, it was up to 78, and you didn't take it immediately after you got upset.
Right.
So obviously this issue has physically affected you, and well, let me just say this. Earlier today, we recorded an interview with Catherine Hadro from the EWTN network, who hosts a show, Right to Life Weekly, and I didn't want to wait until we air that on Friday to address this. We talk about this briefly because when we were talking to her, there was new information that was coming out. And so you can tune in on Friday and listen to our interview with Catherine, who does a wonderful job. But we wanted to address this tonight while it's fresh. And as Christians, we've got to do the job of getting this information out. Let's look, not at the governor first, let's look at the legislator that is proposing this new bill, which is very similar to the one in New York that right. passed last week. Virginia Democrat delegate Kathy Tran is the sponsor of the Repeal Act, which seeks to repeal restrictions on third trimester abortions. The bill, which was tabled in committee this week, has the support of top Democrats in the state, including Governor Ralph Northam. Now, I found a link that clicks to the bill itself at lis.virginia.gov. you can look up House Bill 2491 titled Abortion, Eliminate Certain Requirements. Let's read the summary. And Amy, I know you've not heard this in bill form. You've read what is reported, but this is bill form. Eliminates the requirement that an abortion in the second trimester of pregnancy and prior to the third trimester be performed in a hospital. So that's one of the things that they want to eliminate. The bill eliminates all the procedures and processes, including the performance of an ultrasound, required to affect a woman's informed written consent to the performance of an abortion. However, the bill does not change the requirement that a woman's informed written consent be first obtained.
Wow.
The bill eliminates the requirement that two other physicians certify that a third trimester abortion is necessary to prevent the woman's death or impairment of her mental or physical health, as well as the need to find any such impairment to the woman's health would be substantial and immediate. The bill also removes language classifying facilities that perform five or more first trimester abortions per month as hospitals for the purpose of complying with regulations establishing minimum standards for hospitals. So this isn't a reporter saying things. This isn't a video of somebody talking.
Right.
This is the bill.
Right.
A summary of the bill. I don't even know where to start. Consent, okay. Eliminates the performance of an ultrasound. How do they find out all of these negative things that they want to abort about without an ultrasound? How does that work?
Well, of course they would want to eliminate that, because if the mother saw what was inside, why would she want to abort that?
Well, now we learned from Catherine today that Planned Parenthood doesn't show the ultrasounds to the mother anyway.
Right.
So now it's just saying they don't have to.
Right.
They legally don't have to. Talks about written consent. Well, that is a big duh. The bill eliminates the requirement that two other physicians certify that a third trimester abortion is necessary. And again, here it is, necessary to prevent the woman's death or impairment of her mental or physical health.
Mental health.
Let's talk about the first part. If they are saying that the woman's life is in danger, why wouldn't they want more than one physician to say that?
Well, wouldn't you think that two heads are better than one to begin with?
Or even three.
Three. When you're making a decision as crucial and critical as that.
So there's the first part of that. Now, the necessity to prevent the woman's death. Who is to say?
Right. Who's to say that that woman's going to die if you abort that baby? Guaranteed, that baby's going to die.
You mean if they don't abort the baby?
Right.
The woman.
Right. If they don't, who's to say whether?
So, again, let's continue to talk this through. They're worried about a woman's death, but they don't want to get a first or more than one, not a second opinion, not a third opinion.
Right.
And let's go down. We'll come back to this, but let's go down. It doesn't even have to be in a hospital.
Right. Absolutely.
We're talking about the death of a woman, the potential death of a woman, but they can perform this not even in a hospital.
Right. It can be in a clinic or an office or... And it doesn't specifically say.
Nope.
So it could be who knows where.
So, you know, they've got all of these good talking points and...
i.e. talking points.
We may come back to that topic, or we may not, because we may have to pick you up off the ground if we get back on that one.
We have to call an ambulance.
So, we're starting to talk about prevent the woman's death or impairment of her mental or physical health. Now, we talked about this, you and I.
Right.
If it's going to emotionally, well, I don't know. I would say scar, but it's way less than that. If they're just going to be really upset that this baby's going to cause problems.
Right.
That is...
That affects her mental health.
The impairment of her mental health. If she thinks that she's going to have... health problems because of the baby, which, again, we're talking about in the third trimester.
Right.
We're talking about, right, we're going to talk about things in a minute that tell that this, and the author that introduced this bill is going to verify that this means up to the point of active labor.
Right.
Now, the point with the governor, we're going to get to that towards the end. But she answers this herself. It means that up to the point of actual birth, the mother can be in active labor.
Absolutely.
And abortion can be done.
Absolutely.
Now, this would beg to question... if it was going to cause an impairment to her mental health or her physical health, why did she and or the doctor wait until she was in the third trimester all the way up to active delivery? Why didn't they make that decision much earlier?
Well, and this may sound out there, but to me, why... it doesn't make a difference from the day after conception or the day before the baby's born or the minute before the baby's born. A life is a life is a life. But exactly. Why would you wait that amount of time? Why would this mother go through all these changes in her physical being and her health-wise? I mean, a woman's body goes through a lot in a pregnancy, and carrying a baby to term, why would she wait and go through all of that if she's got her mind set that that's what she's going to do, or that there's any doubt in that that's what she's going to do? Why would she go through all of that? To me, it doesn't matter from day one or week 42. It doesn't matter.
Well, let's go into an exchange that Miss Tran had with a person in the house there in Virginia. As a preface, the bill would remove a number of restrictions currently in place regarding late-term abortions, including doing away with the requirement that two other physicians certify a third trimester abortion is necessary to prevent the woman's death or impairment of her mental or physical health. Todd Gilbert, the Republican House Majority Leader, questioned Tran about the bill during a hearing on Monday. He asked Tran if a woman who has physical signs she is about to give birth could request an abortion if a physician said it could impair her mental health. Quote, where it's obvious that a woman is about to give birth, she has physical signs that she is about to give birth, i.e., in labor, active labor, would that still be a point at which she could request an abortion if she was so certified she's dilating? Gilbert asked Tran. Mr. Chairman, that would be a decision that the doctor, the physician, I'm not sure what the difference she means there, and the woman would make at that point.
Wow.
He says, I understand that. I'm asking if your bill allows that. Basically allows while she is... They didn't use the word active labor. I'm going to use the word active labor. Tran replied, my bill would allow that. Yes. That's a quote. That's not Ed. That's not Amy. That's Representative Tran, a Democrat from Virginia. Yes, it would allow that. Or my bill would allow that. Yes. Virginia Republicans shared video of the exchange, so you don't have to take anybody's word that that's what she said. There is a video that's out there. It's not hard to find.
You know, not only does that make me angry, it sickens me, it saddens me, just to know that this society is approving of that.
Well, and this being on the heels, we just talked about this last week.
Right.
Where they celebrated in New York.
Celebrated.
And that's not an exaggeration.
That's not our words.
Yeah.
But,
just, here's the thing that has to be done, people. You have to inform yourself on these things. You're not going to hear the exact bill being read on the nightly news.
Right.
If you even hear about this on the nightly news. I mean, we talked today...
The truthful side of this,
yes,
on the nightly news. Because this is liberal media that's going to be putting anything out.
And I realize that liberals can say, well, you're getting your information from a conservative slant. Okay, I don't care how they slant it. I'm concerned about the quotes.
Right.
I'm concerned about watching video.
Right.
I'm concerned about reading the bill. I don't care how people spin it. Because Republicans spin, Democrats spin, people that don't even like politics spin.
Right.
To me, spin is either saying half-truths or lies.
Right.
And so, I don't want the spin. I want to know if somebody that is an elected official thinks it's okay to murder a full-term baby while the mother is in labor. I'm tired of pussyfooting around with these issues. Let's call it what it is. They are killing a baby.
Absolutely.
While the mother is in labor. First of all, that seems to me to be dangerous in and of itself.
Absolutely.
To me, I'm talking about on the mother.
Right, absolutely. It's got to be. It has to be dangerous on the mother. It's definitely dangerous for the baby.
Well,
but I mean,
it's deadly for the baby.
Well, absolutely. But you, and talk about detrimental to her mental health. If they want to get down to it, and they're so concerned about her mental health, try taking away something that she's carried for 9 months and killing it. And her walking away from a hospital empty-armed.
Now...
I've done that twice.
I was going to say,
not on my own will. I've not done it by choice. I lost two babies.
Yeah, let's clarify here. You're not talking about you had two abortions.
Absolutely not.
You had two miscarriages. Or is even how you would refer?
No, I would not refer to those as miscarriages. I had two full-term babies. One that was stillborn. and one that died 10 days before she was delivered. And I walked away from a hospital two times, empty-armed. And you want to talk about detrimental to a woman's mental health. It doesn't get much worse than that.
And factor in that they can make that snap decision. It's not like they've been thinking about it or what. I mean, maybe they haven't, but they can make a snap decision that kills a baby and is going to affect the rest of their life while they're in active labor. Now, I'm not belittling this at all, but think about the state of mind that a woman can be in during active labor.
Absolutely. She can be in pain. Her and the significant other, father of the baby, whatever that they happen to be at that moment, might have just gotten into a huge argument. The father might have walked out of the room and said, I'll never be back. And in that snap decision, or in that moment, heat of the moment, she could have made that snap decision. And that's a done deal. And that's going to be something that she's going to regret for the rest of her life. Because at that moment, they may question her multiple times. Are you sure this is what you want to do? Are you positive? And she's going to be distraught and say, I'm not going to be able to handle this baby for the rest of my life by myself. It's going to be detrimental to my mental health. And there's her decision. A week later, they get back together. And guess what? She's got empty arms.
And he's got empty arms,
absolutely,
too.
The father's going to be devastated by that as well. Fathers don't get a choice. You know, and they always talk about it's the woman's right to choose. Well, it takes two.
Absolutely takes two. And there's so many avenues that you can think on just how repulsive this is. What if this lady has gone to Planned Parenthood, they took an ultrasound but didn't show her the ultrasound? Maybe she's never seen an ultrasound.
Right.
And you might think, well, that sounds far-fetched in today's society. I don't think that's far-fetched.
Nope.
So maybe she's never seen an ultrasound. Maybe she heard the heartbeat, or maybe she didn't hear the heartbeat. So she has this late-term abortion, this late-term murder, and then down the road, she sees what an ultrasound looks like.
Right.
She sees what her baby looked like when it was murdered. And if she didn't have mental health issues before then, I'm pretty sure that she's going to be in some serious shock.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And nobody is going to tell her that.
Well, and according to this bill, they're wanting to do away with all the education prior to.
Okay. Well, we've talked about that part for quite a while. Now let's talk about Governor Ralph Northam. Now, before I go into this, let me just tell you what I believe is going to happen, and I believe it is already starting to happen. The governor's staff, Democrats all over the country are going to say, he didn't mean what you say he means. They're going to deny this.
Oh, they're going to be covering up this for a long time.
Because, well, you know, I would say I can't believe we're talking about this, but I can believe just about anything when it comes to this topic anymore.
Well, right. But this is bad.
Democratic Virginia Governor Ralph Northam came under fire Wednesday after he waded into the fight over a controversial abortion bill that one sponsor said could allow women to terminate a pregnancy up until the moment before birth, with critics saying Northam indicated a child could be killed after birth.
After, folks. Did you hear that? After birth.
Northam, whose office is now pushing back on those claims, appeared on WTOP. I think he...
A little dyslexic there, wasn't it?
Well, and anybody that would have said this should just use the insanity plea or the fact that they were on WPOT and not TOP, but he appeared on that show to discuss the Repeal Act, which seeks to repeal restrictions on third trimester abortions. And we keep reading this over and over. I want it to sink into your head. Virginia Democrat Delegate Kathy Tran, one of the sponsors, sparked outrage from conservatives when she was asked at a hearing if a woman about to give birth and dilated could still request an abortion. The bill was tabled in committee this week. So that is the good news out of this, that the bill hasn't passed because they do have a Republican majority in their House. Of course, we've said before, Tran said, my bill would allow that, yes. Now back to the governor. Northam, a former pediatric neurologist. Now,
that's sickening.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Isn't that what Ben Carson was, a pediatric neurologist?
Absolutely.
I'm interested to hear his take on this.
Oh, he's probably devastated because they're in the business of saving babies and children. Not taking their lives.
Northam was asked about those comments and the comments that Tran made about allowing the bill allowing up to the minute it was born.
Right.
He said he couldn't speak for Tran, but said that third trimester abortions are done with the consent of obviously the mother, with the consent of the physician. He says multiple physicians, by the way. Now, we just read that this bill would take that out.
Right.
But he said multiple physicians, by the way, and it's done in cases where there may be severe deformities or there may be a fetus that's not viable. None of that is in the bill.
Absolutely. There's not one thing in that bill that says any of that.
That's as much of a lie as you can get.
Absolutely. Well, he's whitewashing everything that bill says to make it sound good.
But he goes further. So in this particular example, if a mother is in labor, I can tell you exactly what would happen. The infant would be delivered. The infant would be kept comfortable. The infant would be resuscitated if that's what the mother and family desired, and then a discussion would ensue between the physicians and the mother.
No father. Mother.
Now, what discussion could there be after the baby is born? Well, I would think that the discussion would be a treatment plan. How are we going to proceed from here to make sure this baby survives?
Exactly.
The intent of his comment was not clear, but some conservative commentators and lawmakers took his remark to mean he was discussing the possibility of letting a newborn die. Letting a newborn die. Because when you talk about somebody in the last stages of life, what do you want them to do? You want to make them comfortable.
Right.
Well, he's saying the infant will be kept comfortable. The infant will be resuscitated if that's what the mother and family desired. If. What if they don't want it to be resuscitated? And then a discussion would ensue. Nebraska Senator Ben Sasse said this is morally repugnant. In just a few years, pro-abortion zealots went from safe, legal, and rare to keep the newborns comfortable while the doctor debates infanticide. And I know you've got an issue with that word, but we'll use it because that's what this guy used.
Right.
I don't care what party you're from. If you can't say that it's wrong to leave babies to die after birth, get the hell out of public office.
And it doesn't get more clear than that.
That is just point blank to the point and, yep, and point blank accurate.
Absolutely.
Now, I told you that he was starting to backtrack already. Wednesday evening, Northam tweeted, "I have devoted my life to caring for children, and any insinuation otherwise is shameful and disgusting." They're just using your words,
absolutely,
Governor Northam.
Absolutely.
His communications director said the GOP critics were trying to play politics with women's health and sought to clarify.
Goodness.
No woman seeks a third trimester abortion except in the case of tragic or difficult circumstances, such as a non-viable pregnancy or in the event of severe fetal abnormalities, and the governor's comments were limited to actions physicians would take in the event that a woman in those circumstances went into labor.
Well, that's a lie. Then why would they need a bill saying that for her mental health? He's just said no woman seeks a third trimester abortion.
Yeah, the communications director said that. And
then why would they need a bill saying that because of mental health, you know, distress and not needing three doctors' opinions and not being able to do it or not doing it in a hospital and, you know, such a wide open bill. They need to get their stuff together.
Now, let me ask you this. With today's technology, would a doctor, who at that point in time is normally seeing the mother on a weekly basis, am I right?
Right.
Not know of severe fetal abnormalities?
Oh, absolutely.
At some point before the mother is in active labor.
Absolutely would. Absolutely would. That would not be a surprise when she's in active labor. With today's technology, blood tests, ultrasounds, all the stuff that they do, absolutely, that would all be detected or way earlier than active labor.
Attempts to extrapolate these comments otherwise is in bad faith and underscores exactly why the governor believes physicians and women, not legislators, should make these difficult and deeply personal medical decisions. Then why are they debating it in their legislature?
Absolutely.
You know, it's just kind of typical of that side that they would say something like that when it was their legislator who proposed the bill.
Absolutely.
I can't
because they're the ones padding their pockets doing it.
Jim DeMint, who is a former U.S. Senator, VA Governor Northam is no moderate. This is one of the most vile, radical, pro-abortion positions ever put forward. This is evil.
Amen.
He should recant or resign.
Amen.
Now, let me say this. Once again, if you want to hear his words, there is video out there of the complete interview. Don't believe me. Don't believe Amy. Don't believe Fox News. Don't believe Governor or Senator DeMint. Don't believe the other senator that mentioned something earlier. Don't believe his communications director.
Right.
Listen to what he said. And let me go back and say what he said. So in this particular example, if a mother is in labor, I can tell you what would happen. The infant would be delivered. That's his words. That's not somebody putting it in his mouth. The infant would be kept comfortable. The infant would be resuscitated if that's what the mother and family desired. Like they're doing somebody a favor there.
Right.
Again, that's Ed's comment there. Back to the governor. And then a discussion would ensue between the physicians and the mother. Now, he can walk that back all he wants to. That's his words. And you can only come to certain conclusions. The infant would be kept comfortable, would be resuscitated if that's what the mother and family desired. At that point, why doesn't the baby have rights?
Absolutely.
We know that they don't believe the baby doesn't have rights in the womb.
Right.
But once the baby is born, why wouldn't it have rights?
Absolutely.
Why couldn't, wouldn't there be legal resources, legal steps taken for allowing a baby to lay there and die? A baby can't take care of themselves at that point.
Right.
A baby can't make a decision at that point. And if the doctor and the mother are going to make a decision to let that baby lay there and die, then there has to be some kind of repercussions involved.
Well, if a mother would let her baby lay and die any other time, it's child abuse and child neglect, and murder charges would be brought up.
How many times do you hear about a baby being dumped in a trash can, or
Absolutely.
A baby being born in a toilet or something, and the mother is
brought up on charges?
Yeah, they're oh my goodness. And you know, we say this all the time, and it just continues to get worse and worse and worse.
Absolutely.
The most intelligent, truthful, honest thing that was said in this entire podcast, whether it be by me or by you or anything that we've read, is three words. This is evil.
Very. Well, the Bible says in the end days that good will be bad and bad will be good.
Yep.
And that's exactly what's happening. That's exactly what's happening.
If people don't believe that Satan is active,
read this bill.
Read this bill. If they don't believe that Satan is enjoying what he is doing to the United States of America, then your head is in the sand.
Yep.
There's no other way to look at it. And yep. I know liberal people who would be repulsed by this.
Well, you know, I would like to think that anybody that had children ever in their life involved, whether it was nieces, nephews, their own children, family members' kids, would be repulsed by this.
Saw a baby at church.
Ever held a child in their life would be repulsed by this. You know, people that say children that are born with disabilities are a burden. I've heard so many, and there are so many organizations that say that they are working for handicap-free societies, and that would be such a wonderful vision if it were reality. It's not reality.
Not in 2019, it's
absolutely not. Absolutely not. If a child, if somebody has a pair of glasses on, that's a handicap. That doesn't mean you have to destroy that person because they have glasses, because that's a handicap. there's no such thing as going to be a handicap-free society. My point is, people think that children with handicaps are a burden to society. I have 5 children. I have 1 child that is terminally healthy. This child is never sick, never been sick, hardly, I mean, a minor cold. That's all she's ever had in her whole entire life. The other 4, they've always had something going on with them. I have been to Riley Children's Hospital with 4 of my 5 children for some reason or another. I go up there, and my youngest child is albino, legally blind. She's has higher chance of skin cancer. I mean, multiple different things. I have a child with Tourette syndrome. I had a child that was born deaf. I've been to Riley with them so many times, and people would say, oh, I'm so sorry that this has happened to your child. No, do not be sorry for me. I go to Riley Hospital, and I am so thankful that Hannah is only legally blind. I am so thankful that the only risk that she has is a higher risk of skin cancer. I go up there, there are children in wheelchairs that don't have a clue who their parents are. But you know what? As long as they put a smile on one person's face a day, that is productive. They are not a burden to society. They are a productive citizen. And I get so tired of people talking about how handicaps in children is a burden and that being a reason for an abortion. Absolutely not.
Well, if you really want your blood pressure to go off the wall.
Oh, boy.
And this is probably the biggest reason Amy's heart rate went crazy, I'm going to tell you to look up a video that was Tucker Carlson, yes, Fox News Tucker Carlson, and let's see, I don't have the lady's name, Monica Klein, there it is, Monica Klein, Seneca Strategies founding partner. And they're talking about this exact topic with the governor.
Right.
And she is a walking, talking...
Oh.
Talking point video.
Yes. That's all she is. It's full of talking points.
She never one time in this 3-minute and 45-second video addressed any question that was asked to her.
No.
She continued to go back. The Republicans are trying to reverse Roe v. Wade. The Republicans are trying to be in women's health issues. Men should have no say in this debate, period. They don't belong even in the discussion.
Well, and then she kept talking about the wall.
Yeah, the Republicans can't talk about they care about the health of babies when they don't care anything about kids dying on the border. Okay. I'm going to stop. We've had our piece, and I'll let you look that up. It's Tucker Carlson and Monica Klein. It's 3 minutes and 45 seconds. You don't have to watch an entire show. And if you're on our side of this topic, I promise you, you will be worked up by the time that video and that 3 minutes and 45 seconds are up. Folks,
absolutely.
Continue to pray about these subjects. Continue to look in God's Word. And I've got some things that I'm going to be posting about what God's Word says about this topic very soon. But as we talked with Catherine earlier today, faith without works is dead. You can pray until you're blue in the face. You can read your Bible until your eyes go blank. But you got to do something. You got to contact your congressmen, your senators, your state legislators, especially your state legislators, because that's where they're doing all this right now.
Right.
Is in the state governments. So you got to do something. We can't continue to just sit back and complain. If all we do is sit back and complain, our 45 minutes here that we spent with you is just wasted. Educate yourself. Find out the real deal. Dig into things. There is plenty of information on this topic. God bless you, folks. God bless America. God bless our unborn babies. Now go out and do the right thing.